Chair to the GM on ESPN 102.5, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. This is your home in Nashville, where we love LaVar Ball and Lonzo Ball and are rooting for them tonight. And I say we because Floyd is all in too, right?
All right, yeah.
Maybe a little bit?
A little bit on one, half of them anyway.
So I think the thing that's cool about our show is that, and we usually talk about whatever you want to talk about, but the thing about our show is, especially during the playoff run, but we own the Predators. I mean, when it comes to covering the Predators, we own that cover. We are all over the Predators. And then, as we were with this past football season, but as we will be football season as well, we're going to own Titans coverage better than anybody in Nashville. It's not even going to be close. As opposed to other shows that'll talk about Twitter and, you know, whatever, you know, what did you eat for lunch? Call in. We don't do that. We showed it during the hockey about how we just own the Preds and we're going to own the Titans. And can we own LaVar Ball too?
Let's wait for that one.
You sure?
Yeah, if we can get the Titans, we'll be doing good.
Okay, so we're going to own the Titans coverage, own the Preds coverage, because those are the teams, obviously, that you in this town care about the most. And without further ado, it is 5 o'clock on a Thursday, which means...
When the GM speaks...
A little bit of the personality.
Everybody listens.
They understand every situation.
And we're giving you exclusive access to Pick the Brain of former Titans GM Floyd Reese.
Brought to you by Bob's Steak and Chop House.
Call 615-737-1025 now.
You're never going to make a mistake.
This is Ask the GM.
Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House. We have one line open and the best call. We'll win a pair of tickets to see the music of Led Zeppelin performed by the National Symphony at the Ascend Amphitheater this Saturday. Let's start off with Ravi, who's going to kick us off on Ask the GM, where once again we're talking football, basketball, LaVar Ball, and hockey. What's up, Ravi?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, enjoy the show. Second thing, I don't think you're a Bobo Jarrett. Anyone that likes LaVar, who made his own company and getting 100% of the profit, that's not a bad thing. So anyways, forget about that. My question... So we lost James Neal to the expansion draft. My question for you, Jared, or in the GM, would be, would you, as David Poole, bring up somebody from in-house? Because we know that our young, talented team, the bench runs really deep. Or would you sign somebody such as, like a guy like Troy Brower, Jared was saying a few days back, where, you know, he can still produce and he goes to those dirty areas. So would you bring up somebody from in-house, or would you go out and search for somebody and then sign him and see how that goes? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Robbie.
Thank you. You know what? I'm sure he's got a plan. I'm going to guess that he's going to feel good about somebody in-house for right now. That being said, if there's somebody out there in unrestricted free agency or a trade pops up or anything along those lines, I mean, I don't think David would hesitate if he thought that was going to make a difference. I think he'd probably go with it. But, you know, is he out pounding the pavement looking for a trade? I don't sense that right now. Later on, maybe.
I think David will bring in a veteran, but he wants to be able to go to the youngsters. Like, I think he believes Fiala and Auberg are going to be scorers, which, especially Fiala, but with those two, that should replace Neal's scoring. If it doesn't, he'll want to have a veteran on the roster that can play and not get you beat. And so I think you'll see a little bit of both. My suggestion, though, would be to sign Thomas Vanek at about, you know, $2-3 million a year for 1 year, and then, you know, see if Fiala and Auberg can take over into those roles. And let's not forget, you know, we talked to Andrew Berkshire yesterday from Sportsnet in Canada, and he said, you know, he would kind of look for Craig Smith to have a bounce-back year. If I had to say between Smith and Wilson who I would expect or who I think could have the bounce-back year, it would be Smith. But I'm not ready to go all in on Smith and Wilson.
You better not.
Derek is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House. What's up, Derek?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Real quick, first thing, as far as LaVar Ball, I respect him because the man's never going to dribble another basketball, and when it's all said and done, he's probably going to have the same amount in his bank account that Lonzo is. But is what I wanted to ask the GM, with – I just turned the radio on. I'm sure y'all have discussed this already today. But with Derek Carr becoming the, you know, the most – the best-paid quarterback ever, when it's time for Marcus to re-up, what kind of figures are we looking at? You know, the production's almost the same. Age is the same. Is it going to be that $24, $25 million ballpark range? Appreciate it, guys.
You know, we talked a little bit about this before. I think Marcus has a little ways to go before he is in the car market. That being said, if he jumps out this year and has, you know, probably as much improvement as he showed last year, he might be right there. This is what's going to happen with all these young quarterbacks that look like they're going to be franchise quarterbacks. They're not every time going to have to be better than the guy that just got a ton of money. If you consider them your franchise quarterback, you don't see improving that. That is, you're not going to have a number one draft choice. There's not going to be somebody in free agency. Then you get to a point where you almost have to pay them whatever the market is. And right now, for a young established quarterback, the market is $25 million a year, which is a pretty good market.
As you say, it's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Dre is up next on the Titans on Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House. What's up, Dre?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Okay, I got a question here. As a fan, this is for the GM. As a fan, do you think that there should be a roster change and possibly coaches change if the Titans don't at least make it to the playoffs?
Dre, you hate Mike Mularkey, don't you?
I think he
does. I think he does. Because did he not call that? Did he? I think he called in during the season and was like, "How much longer are we going to give Mularkey?" Yeah. I was like, well, "It's been 1 year."
I don't. I mean, this. I think this is what you have to take into consideration. We had the largest jump last year of any team in the NFL, from 3 wins to 9 wins, a 6-game jump, which is really unheard of. And, you know, if we're expecting anything like that from here on out, I think we're a little bit delusional. You know, I mean, it is hard to win 6 more games than the year before. We pulled it off, and more power to us.
Nope, I'm expecting 15-1.
More, yeah, no credit, and more, you know, more credit to them. But I think we have to be aware enough to realize that we can go out and play just as good as we did last year and win, you know, 7 or 8 games. You know, that's, I'm not hoping for that. I'm not paving the way for that. But I think we just have to understand some of the games that we won last year, and we went through it a little bit yesterday. Some of the games we won, we probably shouldn't have. And the other side of that coin is true, too. I mean, some of them that we lost, we probably shouldn't have. So I guess my point is, you know, they're going to be in that vicinity. I don't think they're absolutely not going back to 3, and they certainly aren't going to get to 12 or 13.
You didn't ask. You didn't answer his question, though.
What was the question?
Was his question not how many do they need to win before we get on the coach?
Well, he said if they don't make the playoffs, what kind of roster moves or anything? Do you think any type of drastic changes that need to go down?
Yeah, no. If they don't make the playoffs, I don't think anything will happen.
I think he wants something to happen. I think everything will be fine.
I think you may be right.
Jennifer is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House. 615-737-1025 is the number. What's up, Jennifer?
Hey, I'm wondering, as a GM, do you take into account the team that you're trading the player to? For example, there's this talk of the Preds trying to get Duchesne, but as an Avalanche GM, do you trade your star player to a division rival that you might see a few times a year, or do you not even worry about that and just focus on what you need?
Yeah, good question.
Good question.
You don't want to trade to somebody that you're going to play all the time. For example, you know, if the Titans were going to trade somebody, they would not want to trade them to Houston, Jacksonville, or Indy. If there is nothing else out there in the market, you might go ahead and do the deal. But if you have a choice between any of the other teams in the league and one of your division teams, you will go to those other teams. You just, like you said, you don't want to get yourself in a position where you're playing that guy every, you know, in hockey, maybe, you know, 5, 6, 7 times a year. So, you know, you would just as soon avoid that if you can.
I mean, what you don't want to have happen is you don't want to have trade a guy and then him score the game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup final.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I mean, I don't think David Poile could have foreseen Patrick Hornquist scoring the game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup final.
But it's always brought up.
But you can foresee it if you trade him to Chicago. Then you can see something like that happening. All right, let me get another batch of calls for the GM. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House. And the best call for the GM, the best question, will win a pair of tickets to see the music of Led Zeppelin performed by the Nashville Symphony at the Ascend Amphitheater this Saturday. It's Jared and the GM. Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House on ESPN 1025, The Game. Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House right here on ESPN 1025, The Game. By the way, LeVar Ball is in the house for the NBA draft. Our coverage starting at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 1025, The Game. LeVar Ball, you ready for the wardrobe? Not Lonzo, LeVar.
Okay.
Black suit, black shirt, black tie, black vest, and in gold letters on the tie, BBB. That's our brand, Floyd.
Good.
Big baller brand.
Good for him.
What do you think of that tie with the BBB on it?
I mean, I don't think much of any of it.
If you and Sally had a wedding anniversary.
No.
And you guys had a party.
No.
And I was invited.
No.
And it was a black tie event and I wore a BBB tie like that. Would you kick me out of your party?
No.
You let me wear my BBB tie?
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about it. Because
you just started saying no because you don't want Sally to get the idea to have an anniversary party. Sally, if you're listening, I'm all in. I'll bring some dip. I mean, like, dip for the chips, not like, you know. Right, not bringing that. No, I don't even do that. That stuff's gross. Okay, let's go to your phones here on Jared and the GM. Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House. Bobby is up first. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, okay, Floyd.
Yes, sir.
Now, we understand. We know you know the ins and the outs of the Titans. We football, how it all works behind the scenes, and we appreciate your take on every bit of it.
Thank you.
And it's awesome.
Thank you.
But here's my question to you. Will you want today, we know you're a Titans fan.
Right.
I want to hear you get fired up, take a hard line, get behind Jared, and let's hear something. Are the Titans going to make the playoffs? You can do it. Get fired up. Let us know about it. Can you do it?
I don't think there's any doubt about the chance them making the playoffs. But in order to do it, they're going to have to beat Houston and Indy. That's my point. And if they can't do that, then like they have in the past, they won't make the playoffs.
That's not a hot take. He wanted a hot take.
It's the best they got.
I told you, they could have won the division last year without beating Indianapolis.
Could have. Would have. If.
They'd beaten Jacksonville.
All those things are just smoke.
That's all you got to have, though. You don't need to have anything else. You don't need to beat. You do not need to beat Indianapolis to win the division, although it would be very helpful.
If you lose to Indy twice, you lose to Houston twice, you won't win the division.
They didn't lose to Houston twice last year.
No, but only because Houston gave up on the last game.
Hey, they tied for first in the division last year without beating Indianapolis. Geez. Robert is up next on Jared and the GM. Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House. What's up, Robert?
I just got a two-part question. First of, what am I going to do with this James Neal jersey I just got for the playoffs? I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, do I get any, like, I'm sure a lot of people got these jerseys, but do we get any reimbursements for that?
No.
No, the serious question is, who's going to be more of a captain, PK or Pekka? And, or can they work together? And
Pekka cannot be the captain of the Predators.
I understand that.
Yeah,
appreciate your call,
I mean,
Robert.
I think Pekka's got more leadership. Now, he can't be a captain, but he can be part of the leadership council or, you know, however they work it. I think, you know, if Fisher is gone and if, you know, now that Neal is gone, I would guess he would be the guy in the room that all eyes would kind of be featured on, trying to, you know, get a take from him, and he'll be the one to kind of set the tempo and, you know, get things going. I mean, there are other guys I think that would have a chance.
Pekka or PK?
Pekka. But nobody will have the clout that Pekka has.
What do you think about him saying, you know, he makes it sound like he wanted either PK or Pekka to be the captain. If Pekka, obviously cannot be the captain, and it sounds like he wants PK to be the captain. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, I don't know that that PK has been here. I mean, I'm not sure he's got the locker room like those other guys, but maybe he does. I don't know.
The captain of Listerine. Let's go to Tom, who's up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House. What's up, Tom?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hey Tom. A
couple quick comments. So we got Pekka under contract, I think, for 2 years. You got the top four defensemen locked up for 4 years or so and locking up some of the Jofa guys, restricted free agents. So how do you, Floyd, as a GM, how do you work that window into making moves without giving up, you know, without turning yourself into a hot mess in 4 or 5 years? So what moves do you make given that window of some of the key guys being signed? How do you maneuver through that as a GM?
Yeah, I mean, it is not going to be easy. There's no doubt about that. But I think what he needs to do, what David needs to do, is sit down with all the hockey people and decide the direction that they're going to go. And I think if they're going to kind of continue on the same path that we've seen, particularly the last 3, 4, 5 years, and, you know, the objective being that that's the way they're going to get in a position to win, you know, a series of cups, if you will, then I think they'll just continue doing what they're doing. They'll make a trade or two along the way. But generally speaking, he's going to bring in the young guys. He's going to sign them a little bit early. He's going to end up with guys that have good contracts, et cetera, et cetera. And that's been successful, and he's good at it. So I think that's a giant plus. If you're going the other way and you're saying, you know what, I don't know how much longer Pekka has. I don't know how much longer, you know, if Fisher comes back, how much longer he's going to have. Consequently, I want to try to win it now. Then you need to do some things that are a little bit out of character. And generally speaking, that involves you going out and getting not just players, but top-of-the-line players and paying whatever the going price is. And if that involves draft choices, and we were talking today, draft choices and a number of younger players that you like that may have been high draft choices that may be pretty good players, then that's what you have to do. I mean, you just got to decide which way you want to approach it.
Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House. Lamar is up next. What's up, Lamar?
What's up, Jake?
Hey.
GM.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
All right, I like Marcus. But last year, considering all the fumbles and turnovers, do you still think he's an 18 and 24 passes type of quarterback with these new toys we have?
You know, this is what's going to happen with that offense. The offense is going to start with the same approach they had last year. I think as we see these receivers mature and as we see the quarterback mature, the more success they show you, the farther you're going to go towards them. So, you know, if you're saying, okay, Marcus is going to throw 18 passes a game, well, all of a sudden we see that Marcus is really playing well, really throwing well, on the same page with his receivers and things like that, then all of a sudden you're going to put the ball in his hands. I mean, that's why he's there, and I think you're going to have confidence in him and say, hey, you know, instead of 18, let's go 24. Instead of 24, let's go to where. And at a point in time down the road, the games will be turned around. And what will happen is we will open the games with Marcus trying to win them. Now, we're never going to throw the run away. But, I mean, you'll see him throwing a lot more passes a lot earlier. And if he is successful, we'll get ahead and we'll start running the ball at the ends of the game, when we're ahead by 14 points, 10 points, and we're trying to eat up the clock, then we'll start running the ball. And even though the numbers may end up being similar at the end of the game, the way it's actually done will be almost reversed.
Wait a minute, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I can't see the Titans doing it. I feel like they don't want to be like that.
Well, if the quarterback's really good, they won't have a choice.
Then I guess that kind of works out that way.
Yeah.
Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House. If you missed your opportunity, next Thursday at 5 o'clock is your opportunity to ask the GM. Coming up next, I just saw something crazy. Just crazy. It really got my attention. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the show. The thing that I thought I saw that was crazy, by the way, Jared and the GM live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. The thing I thought was crazy, I found out was really just me being an idiot. The bottom of the screen, the crawl was rolling along with the NBA draft, which, of course, you can hear at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And I thought I saw Luke Kornet in the top 15 in the little mock draft that they run. And I'm thinking, Vandy's Luke Kornet. I went back and looked at it. It's Luke Kennard from Duke. Now, that makes more sense. But for a second, I thought, wait a minute. You got Luke Kornet from Vanderbilt in the top 15, the top 20? And I come to find out, I went to NBADraft.net, and they do not even have Luke Kornet being picked in the NBA draft. So you got a player with that type of size and those type of skills, and they don't even have Kornet being picked. So then the question is he going to get picked tonight, or what's it going to look like? Well, according to his sister, Nicole Kornet, on her blog, she wrote, she believes Luke will get picked, according to her blog. Quote, one whose name cannot be easily found, talking about Luke, whose name cannot be easily found within the top 60 in most mock drafts. Some have him at 67, some have him at 44, some have him at 60 on the dot. Once again, there's 60 picks
right
in the draft. So Kornet's sister goes on to write, for one, don't believe everything you read on the internet. Mock drafts are like chat rooms. Coaches and GMs don't create them. Shoe companies do. I sound like a bitter ex-wife here, but I promise I have my sources. To put it frankly, Luke has a very good chance of getting drafted. There's also a chance he doesn't. Insightful, I know. So that comes from Luke Kornet's sister's blog. So, Floyd, do you think Luke Kornet is going to be drafted, and do you think he can play in the NBA? And I say this because I thought I saw on the scroll at the bottom of the crawl on the bottom of the screen that Kornet was going to be drafted in the first round. Find out it's Luke Kennard, and I was like, oh, okay, that makes more sense.
I don't. I think he can probably play. He can shoot, and he can do all those kinds of things. I think he does need to mature. You know, he needs to get bigger and stronger, and that will come with age. It also come with lifting and doing all the other stuff. Now, is that going to hurt him from making a roster right away? I'm not sure. He may have to, you know, play in Europe or something for a little bit till he can mature and then come back. But, I mean, anybody that big that can shoot the ball like that, I think you have to have a chance.
He definitely has a chance. Now, Joe Rexrode and I got in an argument, Joe Rexrode of the Tennessean, because Joe wrote a piece during the basketball season about how Kornet was going to be in the NBA or something like that. And I remember saying to Joe, like, Joe, easy. He's not going to, you know. And Joe was like, no, he's got the size. He's got the – and – I actually sat and watched the Vandy Florida game with Matt Bonner, and we were sitting there watching the game, and I asked him, I said, do you think Kornet can play in the NBA? And I asked him this because I wanted him to say no, and I want him to say no so I could go to Joe Rexrode and say, Matt Bonner says he can't play in the NBA, but that's not what Matt said. Matt said it's all about finding the role and finding the right team. And I look at Kornet, and I think to myself, he's just not tough enough. And right now, at Vandy, he's not tough enough to play in the NBA. And I'm not saying he's not a good kid or that he's not, because he seems like all of those things. But I just don't think that he's tough enough to play in the NBA. There were too many times where I'd watch Vandy play basketball and I'm like, you're 6 inches taller than the guy guarding you. Go to the post, get the ball, turn around, put it in the basket. But he wants to come out and shoot threes. And the thing that really got me about Kornet was in their NCAA tournament game against Northwestern, before he fouled out of the game, I didn't feel like he demanded the ball. And I feel like in college basketball, like when you're a veteran guy like Kornet was and you were the best player on the team, and you got to be the guy. You got to be the one that says, hey, we're down by four with 3 minutes to go. Give me the ball and get out of the way. And Kornet never did that. So I think you're right. He could probably go to Europe for a couple of years and kind of play, and he's definitely a Euro ball style player, and he can make some cash. Then if he finds the right role with an NBA team, maybe. But I don't think Luke Kornet's an NBA player. And that's why I almost lost my marbles when I thought I saw on the scroll, I thought I saw Luke Kornet in the top 15 of the draft. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be. I mean, I thought I was going to lose my mind sitting there looking at that. And then I went back and looked at it. It was Luke Kennard from Duke, who certainly is, in my mind, an NBA player. Now, here's the other thing about the NBA draft. We know all these players, right? Because we watch college ball. So we know De'Aaron Fox. We know Malik Monk. We know Lonzo Ball. Now, we don't know Markelle Fultz because he played at Washington. They won 9 games last year and, you know, whatever. But we know the college players. Do you realize how little we know about these guys after they get drafted? Like, we never – there's like a handful of these guys that actually become players that matter.
Yeah, I mean, you can't trace them. That's the problem.
Everybody else is like, he went to Phoenix, and then he's at Sacramento, and now I haven't even watched Phoenix or Sacramento.
Yeah, guy gets drafted in the top 20, and you'd think, geez, he's going to go with – and all of a sudden, you know, he's been to 4 different clubs, or he's you know, the bottom guy on the bench. He's whatever. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard. The number of guys that come out of the NBA draft that really hit it big – I mean, you're talking about a select few.
And it's always weird because you never know who the guy is going to be that is that one.
Yeah.
I mean, Curry was a good player in college. Curry, you know, we go back to Kornet not putting the team on his back. When Curry was at Davidson, Steph Curry, he literally took that team to the Elite Eight. And they could have beaten Kansas, who ended up winning the national title in that Elite Eight game. Curry was incredible in college. But no one knew that Curry was going to work out like he did. Klay Thompson. Who the hell knew who Klay Thompson was when he was at Washington State? I had no idea who he was. Yeah, I mean, I remember when Draymond Green was in college. Draymond Green, compared to what he is now, he's a fat boy. And Draymond Green was out there, and he was great at Michigan State, but I never thought Draymond Green was going to be good in the NBA.
He's really made a career for himself.
He was a second-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, he has done it all. Now, I know he's a little edgy at times, but you talk about carving a spot for yourself. He has done that.
And so, you know, we never know who. In that same draft, Doc Rivers' son, I think, was like a top 10 pick. Doc Rivers' son, what's he done in the NBA?
Yeah.
So Draymond, you know, has gone on to have this great career, and you have no idea, but half these guys you'll never even see from again. I love the NBA draft. I mean, I don't even watch the NBA, and I love the NBA draft. And I'm rooting for the Lakers tonight to do the right thing and take Lonzo Ball. And I'm rooting for the Celtics to finally find that one piece that's going to make them compete. Because I'd like to see the Celtics compete with LeBron in the Eastern Conference because it's just more interesting. Basketball was so boring this year. We need more good teams, and we need the Celtics to be good. We need the power teams.
And the Celtics were pretty good.
But they weren't. But they never had a chance, though.
No.
You know, you never watched the Celtics and thought, you know, they can beat LeBron in a 7-game series.
Yeah.
No one ever thought that. Well, but Jared, they're the ones. Nobody ever. Nobody believed that. So I'm rooting for. We don't need every team to be good in the NBA. We don't need it to be parody like the NHL or the NFL. We just need some teams to be good. Just a couple to make the playoffs interesting. Because none of us really watch that much anyways until we get to the playoffs. But I would just like just some interesting, someone to challenge Golden State in the West, someone to challenge LeBron in the East. That's all I ask.
Well, the sad part is you look at the amount of resources that are dumped into these teams between the draft and what you pay them, between trades, between signing free agents, and having a bunch of those guys just not work out for whatever reason. You know, don't like the coach, don't like the other players, don't like the offense, whatever it may be. I mean, it's really, really sad the large amount of misses they have because there are enough players to bounce around. You should be able to put together a team some way, somehow. But, man, it's hard.
Oh, because it doesn't matter if you don't have the great player.
If you don't have the stars, you may as well go home.
I mean, either you have to have the whole group of superstars that I really believe Golden State got lucky on. I mean, I know that Golden State probably has great scouting and development, even when they had Mark Jackson as coach. They probably had a great scouting system and everything. But, I mean, Klay was 14th overall. If it was so easy to take Klay, you know, if Clay was that good, then someone else would have taken Clay before that. But like Draymond, you know, you would have taken Draymond with your first round pick, not your second round pick, if you had thought Draymond was that good. So they got lucky on some of these things. But unless you have that collection of stars, either you have LeBron or you don't.
You have no chance.
And if you don't have LeBron, see ya.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of like Nick Saban in the SEC. Like, who do you think is going to win the SEC next year?
Yeah, that's right.
And LeBron's the same way in the East. I just want it to be interesting. Just give us something. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. He is the GM, Floyd Reese. And coming up next, a former Titan has a message for the Titans that I think means something. And I want the GM's take on it. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM as we wrap this show up on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM for all the latest news coverage and everything sports. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter at 102.5 The Game. Instagram at The Game Nashville. And download our app, The Game Nashville. Listen to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm on Twitter at Jared Stillman, where you can give a follow with that little blue check mark so you know it's official. And on Instagram at the Jared Stillman. You guys are doing a good job of getting me new followers on that Instagram at the Jared Stillman, but we can always use more, especially once again on Instagram. Now, Floyd.
Yes, sir.
As much as I dislike Kendall Wright,
uh-huh.
And I don't, I mean, not personally, but just, you know, he is my least favorite Titan of all time because he defines selfish, underachieving, not working hard, all of the things that you don't want in a player. I would argue Kevin Carter was the exact opposite of that and should be high atop the list of many Titan fans' favorite Titans.
Right.
Carter was a great player. He was a selfless player. He was a hard worker. He was a team-first guy. He's so much of a community-first guy that he still does his Waiting for Wishes event here in Nashville every year, even though he does not live here. And Kevin Carter still talks about how much he loves Nashville. Now, Kevin works for ESPN. We have him on from time to time during the football season. He is truly a great guy. The Tennessee Titans need to bring Kevin Carter in to talk to the football team. They may need to bring Kevin Carter in to do something in an official capacity because of something I heard Kevin Carter say. So this weekend, I turned off the golf because it was too boring. You know, it was just so, but it was on Fox, right? Mm-hmm. So I put on something else, and when I was done watching something else, my TV was still on Fox. And they had Titans All Access, which is, I think, a show that you started. And so they had Titans All Access with Mike Keith. Mm-hmm. And they're going over the different things about the Titans or whatever. And they brought in Kevin Carter. And Mike Keith asked Kevin Carter about his message for the Titans. And this is that exchange. I want you to hear what Kevin Carter said.
If you addressed this group of Titans, the 2017 Titans, what would you tell them that they need to know about your group and that history that they're expected to carry forward?
When you have that fireball on your helmet, you're not just only special because you wear the uniform. You're special because of what you're representing, the history and the lineage of great players that have come before you that have worn that uniform. You don't get that feeling of togetherness and community that you have in Nashville in every place. We talk about all these special moments, you know, they're so fresh in my mind because that was a team, a group of men that took the opportunity and seized it to make memories, memories that will be with me and with some of our Titans fans for the rest of their lives.
What do you make of that message, and how important is that for that message from a guy like Kevin Carter to get to those players who right now are probably on vacation, and but when they get back, to hear that message from Kevin Carter?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, again, you hear me say this all the time. If you make a list of 10 things that you want in a player, Kevin is it checks every box. You know, not only on the field, but off the field with his family, his wife, his kids, his, I mean, he is absolutely top-notch. When we were thinking about making the trade, I don't know if you'll remember this, but
2001, it was a first-round pick.
When he was in St. Louis, he was not a very popular guy. Now, the year we drafted Eddie George, the other guy we were going to draft was Kevin. So we had done a lot of work on Kevin, knew Kevin well. I mean, we felt like, you know, we loved Kevin. So we started calling St. Louis and, you know, just kind of throwing a trade around and what do you think? And And they started coming back with, you know, he's not a very good guy. He's not real good in the locker room. He's not, you know, this and that and the other. And I, really? And so I was good friends with his agent. I talked with his agent. What is the deal? And he said, they said, they just don't want him to leave. And they think they're going to make it ugly enough for the rest of the league that he'll stay here. And so we ended up doing the deal because we had known him before. And sure enough, he comes in and he's just the absolute best. Guys like this carry weight. You know, he's got clout. He's going to, if he were to talk to those guys, he would step up. And I don't know if you've seen him in person, but he is a big, good-looking man.
He's just a good guy. I mean, when you're around him, you're like, man, you're a good guy.
Yeah, he's articulate. He's well-groomed. He is just everything you want. And when he gets in front of a group like that and he starts talking from the heart now, I mean, it'll bring tears to your eyes. He is really, really good. Impactful, honest, sincere. So, I mean, it would be a good idea for them to have him come along and just, you know.
I think his message is so important because essentially the Cliff Notes version of what he said was take pride in what you're doing because what you're doing is a special opportunity. And I think it's important. Like, I think Marcus and those guys know that, but to reinforce it with this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be a member of this team and do the type of things that you did as a GM, that Kevin Carter did, that Steve McNair and Eddie George did, and that group did and what it did to the city, like that's a special opportunity. In fact, when you hear what Kevin said there, I feel like a lot of the Predators right now feel that way about their team and their pride in putting that uniform on that Kevin spoke about with the Titans.
Well, those guys, Kevin's group, you know, the Eddie Georges and the, you know, Steve McNair's, God rest his soul, and all these different guys, I mean, they were prideful. All this stuff, the wearing the uniform, you hear him talk about the fireball, all of those things, they were big. They were important. They were, you know, Kevin Carter, I can't imagine him ever getting in a fight. But if you were to say something about the fireball or say something about the uni or something, I would protect myself because he might be right on you. So I think he's representative of a bunch of those guys. We had a bunch. And they, you know, that's not just talk coming from Kevin. He's legit about all that.
I think it's cool because you brought up the fact that in New England, when somebody comes to the Patriots, Bill Belichick will say, if you get number 19, you've told me that everybody who – you better know if you're on the Patriots and you're wearing number 19, you better know everybody who's worn number 19 before you wore number 19. And it reminds me in Hard Knocks of that scene where Bill O'Brien is sitting there in the room and he asks somebody about another player and he asked him what his name was and goes, the guy from Georgia. And Bill O'Brien lost his mind and everybody kind of giggled in the room. And what I saw after hearing that from you about what the Patriots is, what I realized was, you know, that's not Bill O'Brien trying to be corny, even though everyone kind of gets a laugh out of it. What Bill O'Brien's got to do is get everybody in that room to not chuckle about that and to take it seriously. Because if you go up to a group of guys that don't take it seriously or don't understand it, they'll just chuckle when you say, hey, you represent that fireball represents a time of your life in which you represent the entire city. And there'll be some guys that'll look at you and say, are you done? Is that enough? But you got to get everybody in that room to realize and feel the same way that you do, the same way that Kevin Carter does. And the Predators, and I don't know if it's a Peter or a David or a Fisher or a Pekka, but the Predators, I think, feel that way about their team and their organization right now. Well, and the Titans do too, but the Titans have got to get back to the way Kevin Carter said it right there.
I saw Bill when we were in New England one time. They were passing out numbers to the young guys and gave this receiver, I can't remember who he was, but gave him a number and just had given it to him. Bill says, do you know who wore that number? Then he said, no, I don't. And he said, he gave him the name. I forget who it was. And the kid kind of went with one of those, you know, who's that? I mean, I don't know. He says, you don't know who that is? He said, okay, give me that jersey back. He took the jersey and he gave him a jersey that had like one or zero or something. It's like, or maybe it was a blank jersey. You know, it had nothing. He goes, you wear that till you figure what this is all about. And the kid came back the next day and they said, have you learned anything about the jersey? And I'm going to tell you what now. It was, he ripped off about 15 minutes of talk about this jersey and the kid and where he lived and who his wife was. I mean, it was great.
I mean, I think that you got to understand how to respect certain things. And if you respect it, like I always tell people that, you know, like when we have guests on the show, I want to have guests on the show who want to be on the show. You know, I like sometimes we'll ask people to come on the show and, you know, they probably won't want to come on the show, but they'll come on, you know, okay. But in general, like, I want to have people that want to be on this show. And that's what I love. Trevor Maddich wants to be on this show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he loves coming on the show. We love having him on. Chris Sanders loves being on the show.
Right.
And I feel like because when we bring those type of guys on, Terry Crisp likes being on the show. When we bring those guys on the show, they take pride in this show. Like, we respect this show because we know that this show is for our audience. And I think it's the same way with the team. If you don't respect your team, who else is going to respect your team?
Exactly.
And so I heard that from Kevin Carter, and I was like, man, that it left a mark on me. And so that's something that, you know, I'm not here to knock Titans All Access, but my guess is Titans All Access usually does not get viewed by a bunch of people. Maybe it does. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But I don't usually watch it.
They need to hear
that. But they need to hear that from Titans All Access. That's it for us. The NBA draft is coming up next. LaVar Ball, Lonzo Ball, you go. Let's do it, Balls. That's next. It's Jared and the GM. We're back at it 2 o'clock tomorrow on ESPN 102.5 The Game.